Hello and welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast.
Hi, welcome to the Engagement Coach Podcast with your host, Amrit Sander. Today, I want to talk about trust in institutions. Now, this comes off the back of the recent case of the Met Police, the report that came out about the Met Police, but also the horrific case of the school teacher who took her own life following an Ofsted inspection. But it also comes off the back of numerous conversations I've had with people in the care sector, CQC visits, whether it's hospitals, care homes, whoever it might be. Now, that school teacher, that really, really hit home and that really hurt. It made me question, what are we doing? What sort of environment do we think we're creating? And that it's okay that somebody could be under such extreme stress that they would even contemplate, let alone going ahead with or going through with taking their own life. In this day and age, how can that be right? Now, I started to look into it, and under the Edelman Trust Barometer, I look forward to every year. It came out January this year. I didn't hear much about it, and I haven't heard much since. But yet again, it tells us that our trust in government is at an all-time low. Our trust in institutions is low. And we have more trust and faith in businesses than we do in organizations and institutions, government-backed. And there was a study done by the OECD that the UK was part of. This was back in 2022. I came across it at with the Office of National Statistics data. And it was really interesting. It said that half of the UK's population didn't trust government. 30% did, but half didn't. And when you start to look into it, there's a number of reasons that were highlighted. So this OECD survey that was carried out, they measured trust on a number of measures. So one was openness, then fairness, reliability, responsiveness, and integrity. So openness, fairness, reliability, responsiveness, and integrity. Now, when you think about how we carry out inspections. Now, firstly, look, there'd be uproar if we didn't, right? There'd be uproar if we didn't carry out inspections because our children matter to us. Our elderly matter to us. People who are vulnerable and infirm matter to us. So we need some sort of process in place to make sure the standards are the best they can be. But look at the language that gets used when we're assessing the quality of the standards. Imagine if your child was branded inadequate. There'd be uproar. How dare you brand my child inadequate? Why? Well, because where does a child go from there? If I'm inadequate, that then gives me very little hope. What's the point? That doesn't boost my morale. That doesn't boost my motivation. In fact, I'd just probably go the other way. But yet, we use language like this from these institutions when they're judging and assessing, whether it's a care home, whether it's a hospital, whether it's a school, inadequate. Imagine that, inadequate. Now, whilst they've got room for improvement, nobody goes out of their way to become inadequate. There'll be failings, I guess, on lots of different levels, things that should have happened that didn't happen. But to say they're inadequate doesn't motivate. And this feeds into the, I guess this is psychology 101, really. You know, I often talk about social identity theory and how we, across businesses, we want to create an us, not a them and us, but an us. And the Edelman Trust Barometer started to look into, you know, certainly this year, it's looked at the polarizing view of the world, you know, how much we distrust government, but also how likely are we to listen to views that are opposing ours, or to even be around people who oppose our views. And a couple of things that came out, the reason for the polarization, one was a lack of shared identity. Now think about it. These institutions that are coming in, carrying out assessments and audits, judging, they're not an us, they're a them and us. They're coming in to assess us, and then they're branding us as inadequate. Instead, what we need to think about is how do we change the judgment so that it can be useful as a guide to say, here's what you need to improve, or here's what you need to do to improve. Do we need the judgments in place? Because all they're going to do is demoralize. Yeah, you know, I'd love to see statistics and data on areas of it, whether, no matter what institution it was that was branded inadequate, and how off their own back people were motivated to improve it without external intervention, without a third party intervention. I would be astonished if it happens. Because imagine how demoralizing that is. So lack of shared identity was one of the areas of polarizing from the Edelman Trust Barometer. But the other one was systemic unfairness. Now, whether you take Ofsted, whether you take the Met Police, whether you take CQC, I have heard of numerous areas of systemic unfairness. And again, that doesn't help reinforce the them and us, the us. It reinforces the them and us. The lack of reliability or consistency. Now, let's just go back to the OECD measures for looking at trust in government. Let me remind you, openness. Well, how open are Ofsted inspections? And I've heard of numerous cases where people are really nice to their faces, CQC visits, and people who are under the inspection have no idea how bad things might be. You know, why do we have to have this contrived front of, let's just be nice to people, and then behind the scenes, we're going to write a scathing report? If you truly care about improving standards, tell me right now, show me, rather than waiting for a report to come out. So openness was one of them. Fairness. Where's the fairness? Where's the consistency? How do we operate? Reliability against consistency, responsiveness and integrity. So you can understand then how trust in institutions and governments starts to hit rock bottom. We've got to start to reappraise how we are going about in making improvements. If we're genuinely serious about making improvements, is that how we would do it? And again, we would never brand a child inadequate. We would put our arms around them and support them all the way until they improved. Now look, if we believe there's a unit, a site that has got toxic leadership, that needs to be dealt with. But to brand the site as inadequate because, you know, all the hardworking people, well, what's the point? They'll give up. So I think we need to be really careful about the judgment and the language we're using for those institutions that are here to help raise standards. Again, personally, I was angered that we're putting such strain and stress on teachers with Ofsted inspections that we would allow this to happen in this day and age. It's like something from the medieval times. It makes no sense. Now, whilst I talk about those institutions, let's just bring it closer to home. What are visits like, whether it's a site visit in your or across your business, across your organization? But when people from or individuals from the senior leadership team come and visit or inspect, how do they do it? I remember my time in retailing when I was really junior. I remember it was like a royal visit. We had the red carpet laid out and we would have somebody from head office come in and do an inspection. And we would have gone all out to make sure everything was done as best as it could be. And do you know what we would get? Just a list of all the things that were wrong. And all it felt like was a kick in the teeth for all the hard work everybody had put in. And you just think, what was the point? And again, it was demoralizing. Now, if you work in a site or in a sector and you're a senior leader, maybe you're the CEO, we need to think really carefully about how we go about creating environments of reinforcing negativity or enhancing positivity and hope. Because the same thing is happening at a local level. Whilst we may not use the words inadequate, we might as well. In some cases, we might as well. We want to improve and raise standards, but do we need to do it so brutally that all we're doing is kicking people in the teeth, metaphorically, and just taking the wind out of their sails? Because again, what's the point? So, trust in institutions. Met Police, Ofsted, CQC, numerous bodies that you could name. How are they working? What's the judgment that's being used to help demoralize or improve morale and motivation? And what could we do to improve it, make it even better? Across organizations, we want to motivate people. You know, this isn't the carrot and stick. This is about intrinsic motivation. How do we get people excited and motivated because what they do matters? And this might come back to purpose and really making sure that everybody's clear about the mission. But I also think it's about how we treat people, how we judge people, how we rate people. Ultimately, that's what we're doing. It's not the buildings we're rating, it's the people who work in them. It all comes back to people. So if you haven't had a chance to read the Edelman Trust Barometer, it came out January of this year, worth a read, looking at the polarizing view of the world with regards to trust. And the I mentioned the Office of National Statistics with regards to the OECD report on trust in the UK government. That was a 2022 report that came out that I was referring to. So again, worth a read, but looking at those factors that they measured trust on. And just worth considering across your organization. How are you driving trust? How are you driving motivation? Or is it driving fear and them and us? Segregation of this social identity theory. I'm going to leave that with you. Trust in institutions. Join me again next week for more thoughts on leadership development, culture development, employee engagement, employee experiences, and everything else in between. Amrit Sundar from The Engagement Coach. I shall see you soon. Take care.
The Engagement Coach Podcast.